quick. I locked it in quick. Gloshcast 235. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Guest. Gloshcast 235. What?
Four guests and you.
I consider myself a, five participants. Four guests. Yes. I have to be corrected, apparently. Because we could just let that slide.
I whispered it. I mouthed it.
No, you were adamant. She's not adamant. Shelley, have you ever been on the podcast before?
Once at Stage Fort Park a long time ago.
Oh, there you go. So, Hannah Kimberly, first time podcast for her. Very exciting news coming out of the Hannah Kimberly camp today. We're going to talk about her book, A Woman's Place is at the Top, a biography of Annie Smith Peck, Queen of the Climbers. We also have Kim Smith here.
Good morning, Gloucester.
Overnight internet sensation Wayne Berger is with us.
Good morning, Gloucester.
And we have new Good Morning Gloucester contributor, Charlene Delaney.
Yes.
Who I'm delighted to have on the staff.
Exciting.
And I'm going to tell you one of the main reasons I'm really excited to have her on the staff, because she's everywhere. You're always at the events that I don't get to go to. So no pressure, but you better cover them.
No pressure.
I gave her a lesson this morning. She came in at 8. She picked it right, not so much on the computer, on the laptop, but on the phone app. For WordPress, picked it right up.
I can do anything on the telephone.
How on a scale from 1 to 10, how confident are you in your ability to create a blog post if you had to right now?
Pretty confident, I think.
Well, you do well with Instagram.
Yes.
And you do well on your other social media platforms.
Yes.
So this should be just like that.
Yes.
Right.
The only thing I don't like is tweeting.
You're not a big tweeter?
No, I don't like tweeting.
I feel like Twitter is falling off.
I think so too.
I feel like Instagram is the up and comer. The young kids are all about the Snapchat, which I refuse to do.
Yes.
And that which makes me one more thing that I'm becoming my father.
Thing, right. Yeah. Oh, one more thing.
Don't want to go to Boston anymore because I don't want to deal with the parking, like my dad used to say. I used to scratch my head and say, "What do you mean you don't want to? Boston's so cool. There's all this great stuff." Now I'm that guy that doesn't want to pay $35 an hour to park in Boston.
We can't get there anymore. I mean, they got the roads tore up, and they
make it very difficult now.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, and much like our discussion about the bad traffic in the horrible traffic in Gloucester,
right,
which to me is non-existent.
Yeah. Non-existent.
Don't forget it.
Traffic.
Last Saturday, I took 1 hour to go through the bridge 3 times.
To go through the bridge under the bridge?
No, over the bridge.
The cut bridge.
The cut bridge. I was.
So you went You went across it 3 times within an hour.
Came from West Gloucester, cut bridge, 25 minutes. Went to the bank, came back, got the cut bridge again, 20 minutes.
Oh, all right, so wait a second now. This is what I need to understand. You made a conscious decision to not go highway and come in the back way?
Yes, because I thought...
On a Saturday in the summer, in July.
Yes.
And you...
You get what you pay for.
I kind of don't feel sorry for you in this instance.
No, but I thought about getting some kind of boat so I could just go across the water and leave my car at the high school.
That's not a bad move. It's not a bad move. Or maybe plan to condense the
Zodiac.
Trips.
A Zodiac across.
Right? Or maybe condense the 3 trips into one.
What was going on? Joey, I don't think you were here, but yesterday morning, I was trying to leave East Gloucester. I mean, this road was backed up almost to Ridgedale's.
Yeah, it happens in the summer sometimes.
It was like, it wasn't a glorious, it wasn't like people were running off the beach or anything like that, but...
I thought that there was a...
10 o'clock
Bass
yesterday.
On Bass Ave, I thought I saw there was construction workers on Bass Ave yesterday morning. So
well,
back it up.
You should see at 7 o'clock in the morning, traffic coming from Annisquam I go that way, and the traffic is backed up clear to Anniscombe Church.
But it's, but you know what? It's for like brief periods of time.
Yes.
It's not all day.
It's beautiful, and it's not stinky.
Well, you know that we have 30,000 people in the winter, and then we get 60,000 people in the summer.
But even so, we had this discussion last week. Even compared to the worst day here of traffic is nowhere near what the traffic, the people that have to go drive down past 93 on 128, or the South Shore people have to deal with on a daily basis.
Oh, yes.
Right?
Yes.
All right. Main topic, the lead today is Hannah Kimberly and her book, A Woman's Place is at the Top, a biography of Annie Smith Peck, Queen of the Climbers, which you can get at the local bookstore.
Yep, it's at the bookstore of Gloucester.
Toad Hall?
It's not a Toad Hall.
We need to beat them down. We need to embarrass them, and we need to beat them down. We need to social media shame them.
I think someone from the League of Women Voters was going to talk to them about it.
Yeah, they're so nice. They should just, they'll take your book in a second.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It just wasn't, it was not on my list of things to do. I put it on someone else's list.
Do you know
Someone failed.
Do you know artists? artist Ray Francoeur's daughter, mm-hmm. She runs it there. She's super nice.
Yeah.
They would love that.
I love her.
Yeah. They would love, well, yeah.
You know
yeah.
that saying,
it's on
Council?
The list of people.
My wife, there's only two different type of people in her life. I love her. I hate her. There's no one in between. The famous move is, if the person was walking out the door, just so they could make sure that they could hear as they were leaving, she would say to me, I love her. So that they could hear her say, I love her on the way out the door, so they know. But the one that I hate, she doesn't say it out loud so much.
That's good.
But she'd say, after the girl left the room, she'd say, I hate her.
I didn't hear anything when I left here last week after the podcast, so...
Hold on. Anyway, Hannah is one of those I love her people, right? We've been friends for a long time, but this book has been... You started talking about this book a long time ago. This is like a culmination of everything for you.
It is, yeah. I found... Oh, I actually brought you one. I found this poster. I got this poster from an antique shop in 2007. And...
Oh, awesome.
That's for you, Joey.
Look how awesome this is.
Oh, yeah. Great.
So can you tell us a little bit about Annie Smith?
Sure. So I started off with this poster, and which has an image of Annie Peck on it in her climbing garb.
Wow,
and it says, A Woman's Place is at the Top.
And this is back in her...
That poster was created in the 1970s, late 70s.
But the
1970s?
Yeah, that's when the poster was created. Right.
But they depict the images of her...
The image of her is from 1908.
Okay, yeah, so this is the time period.
Right, so she's born in 1850.
Okay.
And she lives until 1935. And I realized that no one had done anything in terms of writing about her. So I originally, she was the subject of my dissertation, and then I thought I would want to write a popular book that people would read, because no one reads dissertations. So she climbed the Matterhorn in 1895, when she was 45.
45, wow.
And she got sort of really recognized for that, not because that was a big deal, because women had climbed the Matterhorn before, but because she climbed it wearing pants. And women climbers at the time climbed in long skirts or dresses, which of course is very dangerous, and
right.
She thought that was ridiculous. So she sort of got, you know, recognized for that, and her image went out over the news wires. And so then she said, oh, I should go climb where no women have gone before.
My strawberry jam didn't.
So she decided she wanted to climb where no women had climbed. And she headed off to Mexico and for a brief time had the altitude record for women when she climbed Mount Orizaba in 1897.
Where is that in Mexico?
It's close to, she did Popocatépetl and Orizaba, both of those, which are kind of in the center near Mexico City.
Okay.
So then she thought, that, you know, that wasn't too hard to do. And she thought,
where are you going?
Walking.
Home.
So then she thought, I'd like to go where no men have gone. I want to go conquer a virgin peak.
Wow.
So that's what she did, but it took her a number of years because she never had money, so she was always scrambling to get funding. But she eventually climbed Mount Huascarán in Peru, which is the highest peak in Peru, it's over 21,000 feet, at the age of 58.
But she wasn't just a climber. She did much more than just climb.
She did. She was a scholar. She authored 4 books. She started off as a teacher, but she realized she wasn't making the same amount of money as her male counterparts.
Right.
So then she decided to become a lecturer. And that's mostly how she earned her living, is traveling, giving lectures. And she did a circuit every year, and then she'd save up her money and then go climb again and then lecture again about her climbing.
And all this was happening during a period where obviously women weren't doing these type of things.
Exactly. So she was expected to get married and become a mother. And she decided at an early age, I don't want to get married, and told her parents that, and insisted that, you know, they send her to college, like her 3 brothers, who all got to go to college. They all went to Brown University. Her father went to Brown, her uncles went to Brown. She applied to Brown in 1874, and they said, we don't encourage education in young women.
Oh, wow.
So she ended up going to the University of Michigan, who had just opened its doors to women at the time.
Wow.
Yeah, and then she got her master's degree there, and then she became the first woman to attend the School of Classical Studies in Athens, Greece. So she studied archaeology there. So smart, very smart woman, spoke quite a few languages.
Who traveled like this back then?
Right, that's what I was saying. It's like,
you know what I mean? Like,
well, yeah.
How did she get around? Was it trains back then? What was it? What do you think?
Well, from Michigan to Athens, you might need something more than a
little
train.
Bit.
Yeah. Steamer boats.
Yeah. Wow.
And she would,
they did everything on boats.
Yeah, and she'd pack up these, you know, large trunks and carry those with her with all of her equipment. And she never had a home. So she would live in different hotels in New York City, in Boston. She lived for a time in Boston. And she would say, home is where I put my trunks.
Ah.
And so she would just travel
right,
from...
Right, she was really quite a traveler. Wow.
What was the... parallel between Judith Sargent Murray? Is there one where she wanted to go to college or something? And
there very well could have been. I don't
right.
know.
And she was earlier, and there probably weren't any colleges that were there. Did she?
I want to say that
there was something to do with her.
Women colleges, and they also had during Annie's time normal schools, which were schools to train teachers. So she originally did go to a normal school, which is now Rhode Island College.
Jesus.
So that's how she became a teacher. Yeah.
But the book. How long did it take you to write this book?
If I'm being honest,
I
had 18 months to write it, and I spent a year on the first chapter.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Jesus.
I was ruminating. I was thinking a lot.
Right, and then after the first chapter, then it went along.
Then I wrote, 10 more chapters in 5 months or something. Yeah.
Everybody's excited. I mean, it's the big buzz in town right now. Oh, everybody's talking about the book.
It's good. She's extraordinary in that she, didn't let her gender or her age
define her.
Define who she was. And every time someone said no to her, which was a lot, she said, yes, I can. And then she did it.
Love it.
And she did it, even mountain climbing at that time. There's no carabiners. There's no, polar fleece. No Gore-Tex. So they're climbing in mountains. She wore shoes 4 sizes too big so that she could fit 4 pairs of socks. And and they would hammer nails through the inside of their shoes
to make
traction,
them more spiky,
on the ice.
Oh, Jesus.
So there's, sunscreen's not yet invented during this time. So yeah. And then when she was finished climbing, when she was around 80, she climbed her last peak, Mount Madison, at age 82.
Jesus.
But at age 80, she took a 20,000 mile air tour around South America on some of the first commercial flights. Yeah. And so she wrote a book about that.
Did she keep journals, like daily journals?
She did. Yeah. She kept her journals and her letters from the time that she was about 15 until she died. So the material that I went through, her stuff that she had kept, was 17 cubic feet worth of material.
That's voluminous. I mean,
huge.
Is that the right word?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it could fill a refrigerator and a freezer.
Wow.
And she would write letters to people, dear Joey, and then at the bottom of the letter would say, when you're finished reading this, can you send it back to me?
Right.
So she kept a lot of her letters that she sent.
Which made her a perfect subject.
Right.
Because there's, because
the
there's
wealth
this.
Of material.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Who thought it's like the internet.
Right.
Like back then.
Yeah.
Well, you have this, your scent files.
Yeah.
Plus, it's probably there's like day to day stuff in there too, not just the monumental achievements.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you're gonna have a writer's talk at the library. Is it Thursday night?
Thursday. Yeah. 6 o'clock.
Thursday at 6 o'clock.
August 3rd, and it's sponsored by the library and the Bookstore of Gloucester.
What about the League of Women's Voters? Where are they on this?
I'm going to do another talk with them. Some of them will be there. Some of the league members.
I'm planning on going to the one on Friday. I'm super excited to go.
Oh, what's Friday?
Thursday.
Thursday. The library one is Thursday. Don't confuse the readers, the listeners.
Thursday.
No, but it's going to be that's going to be very exciting. So you're going to you read and then take questions. How does what's the format?
I think so. Yeah, I'll just read a little bit because.
Will there be books there for you to sign?
There will. And people can bring books because people have gotten them on Barnes & Noble and Amazon. I think it's at Target, too.
We should say, if you have listened to the podcast, in the show notes, there's the highlighted text of the title. You can click on that and that you can purchase the book.
Yeah, all the different ways you can get it. I'm going to be on Chronicle, too.
Which is a big deal.
That's huge.
And
that's
if you're on Chronicle,
huge.
That's like
that's
the best of the best. That's the cream rises to Chronicle.
Yeah. We already filmed that with Ted Reinstein. So if you want to see me sweating a lot.
Told me about that. Tell the story. This is a great story. So Hannah had her hair done. Everything all coiffed. Go ahead. Tell the story.
Because I was going to be on TV. So, and I'm a minimalist person in general. So, I do my hair and I even put on contact lenses. My friend Stacy comes over and puts makeup on me. And so, yeah, Ted Reinstein's like, okay, meet us at Agassiz, your rock. And it's 90 degrees out. So we're like climbing up to this rock, and the cameraman's like, okay, come back down. Okay, climb back up. I'm going to get you.
She's sweating like a stuck pig.
So hot. That's what I told Joey. I sweated like a stuck pig.
She never gets her hair all done up, ready for the ball.
So it's going to be, and it should be fabulous. Everyone should tune in for that, yeah. I think it's going to air the second week of August. So
that's fantastic. Well, the book the people that ordered the book said August 1st, right?
They should have it by August 1st.
So that's perfect timing for the Chronicle piece.
Yeah. Right.
Oh, that's awesome. I want to thank you for bringing in. See, our guests that know and love me bring me food.
Bring food.
Right.
I know. I just don't love you.
Don't love me. No love. There's no love. So thank you for the. This is homemade. You made this raspberry jam?
Yeah, those raspberries came from the backyard.
So awesome.
I'm so happy you're not moving. I was going to be sad if you moved.
Right,
so there was a chance that she was going to have to move, and it all worked. It worked out.
Yeah.
So we're happy about that.
Yay.
Very special place. They have a beautiful backyard.
It's
gorgeous over there. And Charlene, next time, so you know when you come for the podcast, I mean, you could bring some treats.
Yes.
Just saying.
Okay.
I'm joking. You don't have to
really
pay. I'm joking.
This is the only job where you get to pay.
Yes, that's right. Yes, you contribute and you pay. One second here. Yeah, so that's awesome. Sawyer Free Library, August 3rd. Come and tell us, Hannah.
7 o'clock? Is that 7?
6.
6 o'clock.
Oh, 6 to 8. All right, I'm going to put that in the show notes. 6 p.m.
Don't mess it up. Did you just yell at me for messing it up?
What did I mess up?
Never mind.
6 to 8, right?
Yeah.
Did I get that
six
wrong?
6 to 8.
What did I say, Bridget? Kim's busted. Kim is trying so hard to bust my chops right now. She's so desperate to correct me on something.
No, can you give it to me?
She's got the beet red tomato face going right now. She's blushing. Grandma. I love it. So this is something. Oh, and Kim, I need to thank you for the awesome twice-baked almond croissants. Here's another thing everybody's raving about. Everybody's raving about the Sandpiper Bakery, the French bakery. We only have one French bakery in town, right?
Right.
And Sandpiper Bakery, people are raving about this place.
Yeah.
Have you been yet, Charlene?
Yeah, I've been there.
What did you get?
I think I got cookies the day I was there that were extraordinary. Oh my God.
Everything I got there was great.
I had a ham and cheese croissant there. It's brilliant.
Oh, I'm dying.
Yeah, someone else had a ham and cheese croissant that I know.
It's kind of dangerous having that place here, I think.
Yeah, that's next level bakery stuff. Next level. I want to. I don't know if I mentioned this on the last podcast. Happy Belly has these gluten-free cookies.
Yes, you did mention it last time.
Did I mention it?
Yeah. Yes.
The reason I mentioned it is because they have stuck with me because they are that good. So if anybody
you
walks
said it was
in
like
there,
the best cookie ever, not just best.
No, honest to God, that's the way I felt. Because for me to bring it up again, I haven't stopped thinking about it.
What kind of cookie was it?
I don't know if it was kind of an oatmeal-y cookie, but it was just. There was powdered sugar on the bottom. Oh. It was a little bit gooey, but not gooey. Right. You know, soft and sweet, but not too sweet. And I tell you, try it. Anybody here, try that gluten-free cookie. It's usually on the bottom shelf of the bakery case.
Are they open Sunday mornings? Can we bring some in on the Sunday morning?
I think that would be a fantastic idea. I like the way you're thinking. So Kate was walking. Kate goes she does her daily back shore, unless it's raining out. Raining really hard. She does her back shore loop. Something caught her eye. And it was a pink envelope. She passed it. It's like, go check that out. Because it wasn't on the road. It was kind of set back near a little sign out in front of where the Twin Light Manor is. Opens up the envelope. It's a $10 pay it forward thing from the organization, Awesome Gloucester. We have a lot of friends that are parts of that organization. Greg Bover and Rick Dowsett is on the board of directors there. All good people. Yeah. So here's the thing. She had $10, pay it forward. What would you do with that $10 for maximum impact? Because their idea is they're going to... They feel like it's these people are entrusted. Well, they're hoping
that
this makes more than $10 of impact, right?
Right. So I would get a book.
Yeah. Andy Smith book.
No, not this. But I would get a book from a local shop, right?
Yeah.
And put it in one of
the libraries.
Free libraries.
Oh, that's a great idea.
And then it would keep going.
Right. That's a very sweet idea.
I like the way you're thinking. See, outside the box, what would you do? While you're thinking, I'll give you what my suggestion was. My suggestion was to buy wildflower seeds and disperse wildflower seeds.
Okay, well, I was thinking of milkweed plants.
Of course you were. Because it all revolves around the butterflies. It doesn't have to do with butterflies. It doesn't matter. How about Wayne?
I like the wildflower seed idea, but I would... get some perennials and print because the wildflowers may not come back. You know, they may not. So you can get a perennial or something like that.
Wait, were you the guy that came down? Did you get the rain barrel from me that time when we had a couple rain barrels?
I did.
Did it work out?
I use it.
Wait. Sorry, we're gonna back up. We'll talk about this in a second. We'll finish this segment and then we're gonna go back to that. Go ahead, Kim. What would you do?
Well, what I just said. You know.
Oh, you do milkweed. You do milkweed.
Yeah, my milkweed that I got from you was gorgeous.
Oh.
And you got a butterfly monarchs. Have been feeding there, right?
Well, you were, what, you, yeah, they have been. When was that, Kim?
I think
what,
you got
3 years ago.
Yeah, I think you got common milkweed and marsh milkweed. Didn't you get both? Didn't you get two kinds? Well, anyway.
Yeah.
So many, where, are we talking about monarchs now?
No, not yet.
Not yet. Okay.
We'll get there, though.
Okay.
So, Charlene, did you come up with anything?
Well, I would get herbs. I've been planting herbs pots and giving them to people.
Because
so many people don't know what to do with the herbs.
Well, the other
part
that's
good...
And
for $10, you could make an herb pot for someone. Teach them how to use it. A lot of people in my condominiums are clueless about... And they see my garden and I have everything in pots because that's the only way you can grow anything.
So do you do the Sensimilia or do you do the Purple Haze?
Purple Haze.
Oh, you do the Purple Haze? Is that the one where they have the purple furry on it?
Huh?
No.
What are you talking about?
I'm growing Purple Haze.
I thought you said you're growing
herbs.
Herbs. Oh, herbs. Oh, I thought you were spreading the love that way. No? No?
I just have a great image of Charlene right now.
Yeah.
Distributing her herb pots.
She's an herb distributor.
Yes.
No, but you know, it's a great idea. And the reason, the herbs, like if you go to Stop and Shop for like a little sprig of rosemary,
right.
It's like $5.
Right. Yes.
And you could literally, like, they're so easy to put in their backyard in a little spot and...
Well, and then you put them in pots and you can bring them inside and you got fresh herbs all year long.
Right.
Wow, what a novel idea.
Craziness, right?
Right. Or put them in a Weber grill and bring them to the garage.
Yes, you can winter it over.
Do you know how... Do you know
so
that,
easy.
That you should see it. I should take a picture and show the growth in that herb, that little kettle, what is coming out of that thing right now. It's like a forest of herbs.
Oh, you should take a picture of it and post it. That
I will.
Because you have a before, right? Put it next to the before.
Yes.
Yeah, put them side by side.
It's amazing. I mean, my mother came over yesterday, and she snipped the tops off of the basils and stuff because she says... This is growing a little crazy.
Well, you know, if you take the tops off,
because
they have little flower heads on them, you need to pinch down back the tops.
That's what she did.
And then it will make it grow fuller
bigger
and bushier
fuller
and grow out the side more.
Yeah, I have a thing of basil that started out like three little basils, and now it's like this high.
Kate made, so the other night she made pasta. Fresh pasta with shrimp and basil and pesto. She made pesto.
You make your own pesto.
She made her own pesto. That's what she did. And it was out of this world.
It's
and we didn't pay $5 to have the basil to put
and
it
people
in.
People don't believe that you can do things in pots. My tomato is like
Eric
six
Lorden
foot
is the same.
Right
Eric
now.
Lorden, right outside Eric Lorden's house. He says every day he has fresh lettuce. It just keeps coming.
Yeah.
He picks it off and it keeps coming.
Yeah, I pick fresh lettuce and spinach every day out of my backyard.
Yeah.
Every day.
And from the rain barrel?
Yes, I use the rain barrel for watering all my herb, my garden, everything. Yeah.
So I had an idea down here. Hard was it to put that rain barrel thing together?
If you buy the kits, it's quite easy. I'm mechanically inclined, and I got to figure out.
You are mechanically inclined, unlike me, that I'm not mechanically.
Yes.
Okay, so I just want to back up. So I just happened. A guy had three or four rain barrels that the tops hadn't been cut off yet. So I put it on the blog. Anybody that wants to use these, I know people look for these for rain barrels. I happen to have, and I think it was like 2 hours. You guys came
in. Yeah, called me and she said we got to go now.
Yeah, and you got one of them.
I got one. Yeah,
yeah.
She took two. She didn't want to share.
Yeah, well, you know. No, so tell me the process of how on a difficulty scale from 1 to 10, how hard is it to put that thing together?
It's pretty easy. Like if you go up to Ace, you can buy the kit and you can have it done in an hour.
Really?
Yeah. And it's great. I mean, you just.
So do you have a pump how do you get the water out of it to do what you want to do with it? Or do you have it raised up and you
have
it for watering
up.
Cans?
I have it raised up and have a spigot at the bottom, a faucet at the bottom, and open the faucet, put my watering can there, and go water and come back. And it's very relaxing and, just great.
And you have herbs. So tell me about the, on a, how long, what would it take to fill that up? Like how much... an afternoon of rain, or
I'm collecting from one half of my house, which we're in a small house, so it's not a tremendous amount of roof, but a light rain shower will fill that thing in an hour.
Really?
Oh, absolutely.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, the key thing is you have to have an overflow, because you will collect more rain than you know what to do
with. Than you could possibly use.
Yes. Yeah, I'm hoping you get some more, because I want to put a second one next to it and connect the two of them so I can collect more rain.
Yeah.
Do you have one of those, do you have backyard growers raised bed? Do you have one of those?
I made my own raised bed.
Oh, okay.
The end of our deck needed some steps, and I said, you know, rather than putting steps there, I'm going to put a garden. So I got a raised garden. I don't have to bend down the weed. It's perfect.
Well,
that's awesome.
This way I'm thinking of for you. Like, I don't know if you know this, but backyard growers, you buy a garden and you give a garden, and so the money that you buy, they come and install a raised bed for you. And then that also buys a garden for a low income family.
How much does it cost for the bed?
I can't remember. It was super like $25 or something.
Yeah,
I can't
it's
remember.
Not expensive.
It was very, 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 very reasonable. Very reasonable.
Is it $200 or less?
No.
Is it $100?
I want to say $35, but I don't want to be misquoted.
Oh, really? So it's under $100, do you think?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, that is reasonable.
Yes.
And they come and install it.
They come and install it.
Yeah, that's
so
reasonable.
So you could get it at your house.
Right.
Have a raised
I'm
going
to talk to Kate about that. The only problem is we're filthy with the rabbits. Like, literally, any time we pull into our
rabbits,
driveway, there's five rabbits.
There's rabbits everywhere.
There's rabbits everywhere.
All my gardens that I work on have rabbits. And they're little teeny ones eating everything.
Well, then, what do I want a garden if it's going to get all eaten up? What is your solution?
A raised bed is better.
What is your solution?
Craig put a fence around the vine.
Right.
You put a fence?
Yeah.
You just put a little fence.
Okay.
So a raised bed, you can have a fence.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Around my clients' gardens, like we want to grow sunflowers and things like that, I put a 2-foot-high hexagonal, you know, mesh wire fence with stakes. It takes like 15 minutes to put it up, and it looks fun. It looks a little unsightly the first like couple days, but as soon as stuff starts to grow around it, you don't see the mesh.
Yeah,
it's
right,
green.
Yeah.
Oh,
so it just blends right in.
Yeah.
And then pretty soon everything's grown up around it, and now you have a garden not eaten by rabbits. So,
gotcha. Interesting.
Yeah,
because
easy.
They're really everywhere this year.
Oh my God!
This
tons
is the third
rabbits.
Conversation I've had this week about the number of rabbits this year.
Oh, rabbits
it's
everywhere.
Driving to work the other day, I counted 13. I live less than 2 miles away.
I tell everybody why there's so many rabbits, but nobody's listening. Because
the foxes are gone?
Because there's so few fox, because coyotes outcompeted fox for habitat. We still have some fox, but not nearly as many. So, and coyotes could really care less about rabbits.
There's
coyotes,
so much other food.
There's so much other things to scavenge.
Think, yeah.
So why bother with a tiny little rabbit when you can eat a whole garbage can full of food or whatever? So now without having a predator, like, because fox were great at killing, are great at killing rabbits, white-footed mice, chipmunks, voles, and those, and chipmunks.
That's
and white,
the, another
chipmunks,
thing, voles are really prevalent
chipmunks.
This year.
No, are voles the ones that they do like little pathways through your...
Yes, yeah.
The first time I ever saw those at my mother's house, I thought I was fucking seeing things. I was like, wait a second. I'm looking at the grass. I'm like, I'm blinking. I'm like, wait a second. There's like
going on there?
It's like a little, the pathways just underneath the grass line, and they're like shooting back and forth. It's like a video game. It's like one of those early 1980s video games, or late 70s.
That's
where
we
they're mining through stuff.
Yes.
Yeah, voles are eating all the daylily roots. Oh, they're doing
well. Like that would make sense because she's got all daylilies in front of her house.
Yes, they're doing a number on daylily roots. They're killing a lot of daylilies this year.
There's a lot of daylilies to kill, though.
Yeah,
I mean,
there's too
overdone.
Many daylilies.
Yeah.
There's
overdone, like rhododendrons.
Right. Well, also
rhododendrons and daylilies. Overdone.
Daylilies are not native. They don't. No pollinators like them. They're the most pollinated.
Well, they're useless
plants.
Then. If they're not good for the butterflies, we might as well do away with
them. So, also, that's why, that is one reason why we have a huge rise in Lyme disease. because white-footed mice and chipmunks are the greatest vectors of Lyme disease.
Chipmunks.
Chipmunks and white-footed mice.
And so there's tons of chipmunks, too, right now.
Yeah, more than I've ever
seen. I never saw a chipmunk in East Gloucester ever when I first moved here.
I would totally agree with you. Up until 2 years ago, I never saw a chipmunk, and now I see them
everywhere.
Fairly
everywhere.
Routinely.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
Well, they breed like rabbits. I mean, they really do.
Chipmunks do?
Yeah.
They do. I didn't know that.
Yes.
I'm kind of. Like I'm leaning against.
They should have an app.
Yeah.
They should have an app. I'm leaning against doing my. for breeding. I got you there. I got you. I see where you're going with that. Breeding. I like that breeding period.
Back on track, Joey. Here we go.
I just totally got it. Oh, I'm leaning not towards not. I've been saving my coffee grounds to put in my compost pile. Yeah. I'm thinking about not doing the compost pile because I'm scared to death of having rodents. Because, rats and stuff.
Nothing worse than a chipmunk.
But you get a barrel. If you get a barrel that you can turn all the time, you make your compost much faster.
Yeah, it's too much work. we got to talk, since overnight sensation Wayne Berger is here, we need to talk about a subject near and dear to his heart. The Phyllis A. Lobster Bake is coming up Saturday, August 5th at East Gloucester Marine Railways.
Saturday, August 5th. Yes. Yeah. 11:30 to 2:30. We know, it's a slightly unusual time.
But it's different. It's worth trying.
Well, the sidewalk bazaar is going on. You got the country fest going on. You got lots going on. Lots going on in Gloucester all the time. So trying to find a date when there wasn't something going on was a challenge. So we picked this time so that you could come over to the railways, enjoy some lobster or half a chicken, some chowder.
Ipswich Ale.
Ipswich Ale truck will be there. I will be sitting right next to it. So if you want to come over and meet me, I will be sitting next.
Overnight sensation.
Next to the truck, enjoying some beverage.
Autographs, will you be signing?
Sure. Yeah. What the hell? Why not?
He'll be signing.
Yeah. So anyway, we're there, and we need a good turnout. That's the key thing. I mean, this whole Phyllis A thing. We got it. It's you know the boat. Is historical in that it had a prominent place here in Gloucester and started in the gillnet industry. It's not nearly as glamorous as the Venture or the schooners or something like that, but so it's hard to get some people behind it, but it's important. It's an important aspect in the Gloucester history, and we need to get behind this thing and get her back in the water and go from there. And the best way to do that is come over on August 5th, 11:30 to 2:30. Buy a ticket, eat some lobster from Joey's.
Yep. Yes. You can also go on the website.
Phyllis-A.org. You can buy them online ahead of time.
Yep.
Yeah. And people don't realize.
I'm going to donate a couple of T-shirts. You can raffle them, or whatever you want to do with them, just for that day.
Yeah, we'll just see if somebody actually wants them.
If they want to use them for rags, they can use them for rags, clean off the car.
We need everything. And people don't realize you can come over, you can hang out. You don't have to buy the $40 ticket for the lobster. You can. There's a $5 hot dog option. Come over, drink beer, hang out. Really want to get anybody that worked on the boat, come over, hang out with us, tell stories, reminisce a little bit, and just go from there. It should be a great time. The weather looks fantastic. Out on the new deck at the railways, interesting perspective of the harbor. People are afraid to come to the railwells. They think it's private, and there are signs that say private and all this other stuff. Great
it's
place to hang.
There.
It's beautiful.
If they go down there, they will, especially if you're a photographer.
Right.
It is probably one of maybe the two best places to take photographs in this city.
Yes.
Yeah. The other one being maybe Maritime Gloucester is great. There's a lot of good photographic opportunities over there as well.
Yeah.
So do that. Mm-hmm. All right, everybody on the same page with that one?
Yes.
Can I ask Charlene,
question?
You were at the North.
We had a question. We have a follow-up question.
Okay. Oh, I'm sorry.
Can I just ask why you're called Overnight Internet Sensation?
Why not?
You want me to tell the story? Why? Because he was on the podcast. I actually forgot his name. He came in here, and I thought the girl sitting next to him was his, Deanna Faye, was his wife. And this is how stupid I was. But he blew me away.
Hannah knows Deanna and myself, and she's laughing at that assumption.
But he crushed it on the podcast that day. Okay. And then I went on to beg him to be a regular participant because he brings good stuff and he's interesting and everything else. So I called him. He became relevant in my life right then. Before that, I really didn't care anything about him.
Have you met Joey 6 other times? I was still not relevant.
But this moment was the point. What do you call that? The point where it just ignition point. So he became overnight internet sensation Wayne Berger at that point.
Okay.
Yeah.
Forever to be known as.
I love that name.
Well, that makes one of us. That's great.
I'm happy to be in your presence.
Yeah.
Yes. And Deanna is equally as horrified.
Well, she had the line from that podcast when you're like, you two aren't married? Oh, hell no. The love I felt at that moment was just whelming. Not over, not under. It's just whelming. So can you ever be just whelmed? Are you always overwhelmed?
Or under?
Or underwhelmed?
Underwhelmed.
Can you just be whelmed?
Yeah.
Think about it. I don't know.
I don't know. That's a good question.
Potentially. Could be.
You know, if you need a topic at the next party, you're like, can you just be whelmed?
You do have a lovely wife.
I do. She's in New Mexico at the moment. Out there with a little reunion. She works.
She's hanging out with Frida? This is a joke. I know
New
you
Mexico.
Want to say how
that's
stupid. I know.
Sticks.
I know it is. It's a joke. I want because this is my thing with her. She always looks. She always speaks down to me like
that
I'm a complete
so
idiot.
True.
So I always play into it, like say stupid things to see her reaction. She's like, "Is he really that dumb?" So I know. I was joking. That was the fucking joke. That's why. Because I know you have a passion for Frida, and I know it has nothing to do with me. Anyway, when you have to explain the jokes, then no.
Yeah, well, trust me, I've been there.
No. That is funny. Charlene, I want you to talk about, because you went to the Northeast Seafood Coalition's fundraiser.
Yes, I did.
Which anyone could go to if they had a $100 bill.
Yes.
So, you were an honored $100 guest?
Yes. So, but it was a great turnout. Gloucester came out for it.
Yeah.
They sold all the tickets.
Was there a cooking demonstration?
There was a cooking demonstration. The mayor did a demonstration. She did the whitefish. And Angela Sanfilippo did the redfish stew.
Yeah.
And the governor was there, and he was quite intrigued by the whole process of, and he ate some whitefish, and...
Actually, you should say it's whiting, not whitefish.
Whitefish is
like a Jewish... Jewish kind of whiting. They eat the whitefish. Whiting is a different fish.
But whiting is really delicious.
It's
and then,
one of my
Lenny, Lenny had every kind of fish that's landed. It was part of the meal. Mm-hmm. And so he had plenty of whiting there too, and everybody was really enjoying it.
I cooked some whiting up the other day.
Mm-hmm.
I did you see? It's one of my favorite fish.
I
particularly
really
like
so
the
good.
Smaller
uh-huh.
ones. You scale them, you gut them, you dehead them and tail them. You roll them in flour. I used panko that day,
yeah.
And just put them on the grill. You cook them indirect, or you can bake them.
Well, it's so easy to take the bones right out. And the mayor showed the governor
meat,
how to do
the
that.
The meat is so
sweet and tender.
Sweet and delicious. It is
one
of the most underappreciated, best eating fish you can
ever
have.
Well, the governor was very impressed with it. He couldn't believe how good it was.
Very similar to smelt.
So I've only had the small. How big do whiting get?
Very similar, but a little bit bigger, so there's more meat. What?
How big do whiting get?
The ones she was doing were about this long.
That's like a 9 to 12 inch. Whiting is like what you would call regular whiting.
Okay.
Then bigger than that, there's large whiting. And then when we were kids growing up, they used to land hundreds of thousands of whiting, pounds of whiting a day here. They used to pack them for A&P supermarkets. That's what this building, this there was 100 women packing whiting here in the day, back in the day. But me and my cousin, we were 9 years old when they dumped the bushels and bushels of whiting into the pen room where they got washed down to where the cutting room was. Frank and I would pick out the scoujo whiting, which were like, they looked like codfish. They were that big.
Yeah,
those back then got shipped to New York.
So is there as much whiting as there used to be? Or is it just an underutilized fish, or is it?
It's an underutilized fish, according to what the mayor was saying, and that's what they're trying to get it back like it used to be.
Well, people around here, the Italians eat them, and probably the Portuguese eat them, but most, like, white people don't know what they are. They're not really, so the fishermen's wives and stuff, they try to, you know, say this is a good fish, and it really is a great fish.
It really is a great fish.
But a lot of Spanish people
like whiting. I've only ever had the little ones. Are the big ones just as sweet? It's the same meat.
In our family, for the bigger ones, they make incredible stews.
Yes.
Incredible stews. Yeah.
Yeah,
they call them miyambu.
And it's so easy to take the bones out of them because
they
all
come
out
in one
line. Yes. Yeah.
Really good, yeah.
Well, ironically, I mean, I'm not a local. I grew up in Pennsylvania, but I can remember going to the grocery store to the A&P with my mom and getting whiting, which probably came from this building.
Probably, yeah.
Oh, yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, it's pretty wild. Yeah, the amount of fish that got handled at this place.
It was very impressive. And then Sam made a paddle for the governor that the mayor presented to him,
nice.
He was quite overwhelmed by it. She said, "You'll always be a Gloucester resident." And
the paddle to the city?
And, well, it's a it had the State House on it. It was amazing.
So did when she presented it to him, did he say, "Thank you, may I have another?"
I get the reference.
He was
some people out there. Bill Cox will get the reference.
He was quite taken back by it.
I'm sure
thing.
He was. Thank you. Do you know the reference?
No. I'm just, you have to tell
I feel
it
bad.
Now.
It was terrible. Go ahead.
No, you can. You.
No. was it Animal House or what was it?
I think it was Animal
House. The pledge, you know, with the paddle.
Yeah.
Whacking
them
back. So I'm glad that was a rousing success. I want to do a shout out to one of our contributors, Nicole Schraft, who just sold her house, volunteered to take photos for the Bluefin Blowout. She's been doing great coverage. And I hope that she's being taken care of over there because I know
it's
that there's a lot of work that she's putting into this. And yeah, I hope that they appreciate what she's doing.
Yeah. She's taking so many photos.
A lot. She's sharing and giving a lot of photos.
It's hours of work.
Hours and hours of work.
Yeah.
And sometimes, I hope that the case that they recognize her or something. I don't care about the Good Morning Gloucester aspect of it, but her. Sometimes the organizations ask us to go cover things,
mm-hmm.
and then you put in a ton of time, and then
you
post everything or... The worst is when they ask you for the content and they post it all over their own social media and don't recognize you or attribute anything to you after you did all this work. But I'm sure that they won't do this at the Bluefin Blowout.
They're taking good care of her.
I'm sure they
didn't think of it before, but there's one more thing that coming up is the Kay Ellis Scholarship Fundraiser on August the 28th,
mm-hmm.
and this year the boats involved are going to be the Lannan, the Ardell, the Adventure, and Seven Seas. And
oh,
there are
wow.
seats to be had on all of those.
What was the date?
August the 28th.
All right, I'm going to have to get some tickets for that.
And you need to get tickets because it's selling out fast already. So kallisscholarshipfund.org.
There's a website dedicated to
it. It's being ticketed by Everbrite, but you can go into the website.
Great. All right, we'll put a link to that for sure.
And we're looking for, we're going to do a mystery box auction there.
Do they need
gift certificates and gifts to put in the boxes.
All right, Hannah's got to take off.
Thank you so much for coming,
Hannah.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks so much. If I give you some, if I give you a couple of things to take with you, you can put it into the box. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thanks for coming, Hannah.
We'll see you soon.
See you, honey. That's awesome. Tell me, Kim. Tell me about the. So, a lot of people have been citing monarchs lately.
It's awesome. I'm not sure if the monarchs that we're seeing now, because they're depositing eggs all over dunes, fields, meadows. So you go to a meadow, you'll find adults, you'll find eggs, you'll find caterpillars. So these will probably emerge somewhat like third week in August. So are these the Methuselah monarchs, or are we going to have another generation? I don't know, because usually the migration that we see through our area takes place the third week in September to the second week in October. So I'm feeling like this might be going on for a little while. Mm-hmm. Everybody's seen monarchs everywhere. You have some in your garden. Hannah was saying she has some in her garden.
Yes, in all the five gardens that I work on, there are tons of them.
Well, it is predicted that the fall is going to be warmer and drier than usual, through the end of October.
Okay, well, that is really good.
Yes, yeah, so
that's very, very good for monarchs.
You know, those little insects know more about the weather and what's coming up than we do.
So. Yeah, absolutely do. Yeah. Lobsters, you know, lobsters predict like when there's going to be a storm, like 2 days before the storm, lobster production slows down. Like our landings go way down.
Yeah. Wow,
they hunker down.
They hunker down.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, if you could track that data and put it in an app, you could know about the production cycles of lobsters.
Yeah. No, well, I mean, lobstermen, it's funny, like, you know, and obviously for my job, I'm taking in lobsters, you get an awareness of how nature interacts with these type of things.
Right.
And some of the patterns you see, much like the Clue app, is very spot on.
You got to sync things up, you know?
Absolutely, yeah.
So the weather has been synced for monarch egg laying and monarch reproduction. So we're seeing a lot of that. It's really awesome.
Kind of strange to see two northeast storms in July.
Yeah, well, that put the kibosh on, you know, the monarch activity, but then it resumed.
Yeah.
So that's what makes me think that, you know, something special is going on this year. Uh-huh. So in 2006, we had a very phenomenal year. And then in 2012, it was okay. So I'm looking at it and I'm thinking we're due for a really good year.
Six-year cycles?
Yeah. Perhaps, I don't know. I mean, it's all very weather and wind current dependent and everything. Who knows, really? So, but it's very exciting. And like I saw Beau, Jim Dowd's wife, this morning at the bakery, and I said, you know, do you have any topics you want me to bring up at the podcast? And she said, oh, are you going to talk about monarchs? I was like, okay, we'll talk about monarchs. So.
All right, well, tell me about the plovers now.
The plovers are, so dad plover is gone. It's been 2 days, so we have one little plover baby on the beach. So,
wait, is this normal?
I'm not sure because there's a lot of misinformation around about the plovers. I feel like there's a lot of people not understanding the migration. So people say this or that. So I'm going by what I saw and filmed last year, which was the family stayed together as a unit, and then they were joined by other fledglings, and then they departed. And that took place at the end of August. So this is very unusual to have one little family on the beach, and then if dad has left early, which just doesn't seem logical to me, because the day before he was totally into being a dad, you know what I mean? He was being a really good parent. And then the very next day he leaves.
Hmm.
So he's either been killed by a predator or he started migrating southward already. So, and I don't really believe the latter as much as I believe the former. So anyways, but there's the little chick on the beach.
What about the mother? when did the mother leave?
The mom either was killed by a predator or she left. early. And that
how
is
many
a
days ago was that?
That was about 2 weeks ago.
Oh, okay.
And that is typical. Oftentimes okay. the females will start migrating a little bit earlier. So.
Well, maybe the dad wanted a little action. He got lonely. He was trying to find the mama again.
Well, breeding season's over with, so he would just...
Well, so they only court. You got to court for a while before you can't just...
Yeah, you can't... With plovers, you can't just jump right in. There's courting, big courtship with plovers. Like, two-week-long courtship.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What a pain in the ass that is.
Okay. So,
anyway, and then she takes off.
So I just want to
use them.
Anybody who's listening, I want people to understand, like, if you see the plover, he's the thing that makes one of their defenses is they're so beautifully camouflaged, but that's also to their detriment on a busy beach because
they get trampled.
They get trampled. So.
You know what? I'd love. I don't know if it was you doing it or Catherine was doing it. She was doing this little thing. Can you spot the plover?
Plover, yeah.
Was that you or her?
No, that was her. I see that on a lot of websites, like, can you spot the plover? And then there's a picture of, like, a sandy beach, and, of course, nobody can really see.
Well, no, but she had the little video. You can see, and, you know, this tiny little image on my cell phone. I can see this little dog. That's kind of cool.
Yeah. So.
Their movements are very...
Yeah.
Kind of...
Wait till you see the movie. I have so much beautiful footage.
I can't even believe it.
Really.
I'm dying right now.
I know, but it is really beautiful.
I'm sure it is because the times that you go down to film are the golden hours, it's like you have perfect light, you have the lens, you have the ability, and you have the story. It's like the culmination, just all the pieces there. It's gonna be ridiculous.
It's gonna show Gloucester in the most beautiful light, and it is just and it is a beautiful story. Gorgeous little creature. You know, people don't understand how special it is, I think, because it is special that it's endangered, but most shorebirds breed way up in the Arctic. You know, most plover species do. I'm not going to travel to the Arctic and get up every morning at, you know, 2 a.m. because that's when it's daylight there, right, and film. So we have this beautiful story unfolding right here on our shores.
It is wonderful.
Special.
And the other end of the spectrum is the turkey family that's still living in the Blackburn Circle. I just saw them yesterday.
Saw them yesterday.
Yeah, I had five or six little turkeys, poults, following mom.
What part of the circle? Are they always in the same spot?
They just circle around.
But think of it.
It's like the European vacation. They can't get out of the rotary. They're going, Big Ben, Parliament, Friendlies.
That's my daughter's concern is that, they're going to get squashed as they're trying to exit the rotary, as some of us are. I mean, sometimes squashed as we're trying to exit the rotary.
Luckily,
they're
not in
your
daughter.
My daughter's 26. So. She has a heart. But I mean, I'm also. Where do they get water? What water are they drinking? I don't know. Just amazing.
Right, that is.
Yeah.
Dew in the morning or something.
Something.
Big turkey resurgence.
Yeah, great.
I should put a little jacuzzi in there for him.
We got wildlife all over the place, not just at the crow's nest.
I love all the wildlife that we have. By the way, migration has started as well.
Lots of hummingbirds this year too. Yeah.
So the tourists are leaving. Is that what you're saying?
No, we're getting all the animal, the bird migration and insect migration. Everything has started mid July. Yeah, we see laughing gulls, Bonaparte's gulls, semi-palmated plovers, sandpipers,
I love them.
Semi-palmated sandpipers. You see them all over the beach right now.
I have to just throw this out there because Friday night, I had a tremendous time. I want to give a shout out to Corey Cookeroo at the Bridge. He did an event at the Elks
center. I wanted to go to
left right center tournament. If anybody, have you ever played left right center?
What is that?
Do you know what it is?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Do you know what it is?
Yeah.
Do you know what it is? It's a game.
It's not a political game.
Yeah,
it's not a political game. Right. That's right. Someone brought that up to me the other day and I didn't make the connection until then and I was like, yeah, no.
No.
I hate politics. But this game is, you can make it. When I was first introduced to it, we just played with little Pocino chips. Do you know, you guys know what Pocino is? Okay. So you get three Pocino chips. I'm not going to go through the whole thing. It's a really fun game, gambling-wise, if you wanted to gamble. So he's put a dollar up, and the way they ran the tournament, quickly, I am going, every time they have that tournament,
you're
going
to go.
We are all in. We are all in. It was
I wanted to go. And
it was
a lot
of fun.
There was too many things.
A lot of fun.
There's always too many things happening.
Too much.
Yeah, that's
too
much. That's very true. Yeah.
Terrible problem we have, right?
Yeah. Yes. An embarrassment of riches.
If you say
you're bored in Gloucester, there's something wrong with you. Yeah. Because you can't be bored.
You know that there are some locals that like the ones. Here's the thing, and I've said this. I haven't said it for a while, but I used to say it all the time. It should be mandatory that if you were born here, that you have to leave for at least, say, 9 months. 9 months would do it. For you to understand what you have here, because
yes.
if you never leave, you don't have perspective.
Yeah.
You don't. You really don't. Because when I was growing up. I was like, oh, you know, I can't wait to get out of here. You know, there's nothing to do here. And Gloucester, to be honest with you, Gloucester wasn't what it is now.
No.
You know, Gloucester in the past 10 years has really,
yeah.
I mean, over the top now. But
people ask me why I don't move and go somewhere with my kids. And I said, no, I love Gloucester.
Yeah.
I love everything about it. There's so much to do here.
On so many different levels, it's just such an incredible place. Kim, Annisquam Village Players Porch Tour is coming up.
Yes. What did I say? Sorry, I have to look back at my notes.
The website, AnnisquamVillagePlayers.com, you can get more information.
Yes,
right?
And then, so their play is Singing in the Rain, and that is August 8th through 13th. So buy tickets now, especially if you have a certain night or a big group that you want to take, because they do sell out.
They do sell out, for sure, yeah.
And then, but also on the website, you can buy tickets to the porch tour. And the porch tour goes from 5 to 7. And the fun thing about it is on the final porch, they're going to have the cast singing songs from Singing in the Rain. So it should be really sweet. And also,
but they also have booze at all these different places, right?
At the porch tour?
I think you do. I think
you really?
Go to the outside door.
I didn't know that. But I did not know that. I thought I was on one.
Maybe they don't want people to know that.
But it's, you know, you're there at this beautiful magic hour from 5 to 7, and you're on these exquisite porches that all look out onto the bay there. So it's really... It's
gorgeous,
beautiful.
Gorgeous
so,
houses. A lot of them have unbelievable landscaping.
Yes,
and
so
it's
beautiful.
For
I
them
think
to,
some of them are my the houses that I did.
Probably. Out. Very generous to open their doors to let people out and check out these homes. They're beautiful, beautiful examples of
yes.
New England homes. Duckworth Bistro has Lambrusco, which is a big thing for Kim, apparently, because
yes,
it made it into the show notes.
Right.
So do you want to explain?
Well, I would just like people to first, because there's one other place that has Lambrusco that I know of, and that's Shorten, Maine. Shorten, Maine started about a couple years ago. And then within the last year, Duckworth has it. And it has become the staff favorite beverage. And Lambrusco is not similar to your grandfather's Lambrusco of long ago. It's this beautiful, rich red wine with a slight effervescence. And it's just very refreshing, very summery. So go and ask for Lambrusco next time you're at Duckworth or Shorten, Maine.
There you go. I want to mention Minglewood Tavern. Catherine Ryan posted this. Kids eat free 5 to 6 p.m. any day of the week at Minglewood Tavern.
That's amazing.
So that is stupid not to take advantage of.
Five
to 6 any day of the week.
Yeah, just borrow a kid from somebody. Take them.
But that's with the purchase of an adult entree, but whatever.
Right. Take your neighbor's kid. If you don't have any, just take your neighbor's kid.
So that's during the school year at Latitude 43 and all year long at Minglewood. Just wanted to get that out there. Happy Belly, we talked about them. Pigeon Cove Tavern, we talked about them. Cape Ann.
Hey, Joey, while you're searching there, I went off island last night. You asked me before the show what events. We're so recent, I almost forgot about it. I went off island last night to Peter and Vicky Van Ness's place down in Beverly at 9 Wallace.
Oh.
What a fabulous place. Those guys are doing, you know, they're great people.
Right.
But if you need to go for a show, it's very, I mean, they were doing shows at the Larkin, which is intimate mm-hmm. enough, but Nine Wallace is just off the charts.
And which
go.
So what did you see?
They had a comedy contest last night. So they had 10 comedians and
whoa,
it was,
I would have liked to see that.
Oh yeah, yeah,
were some better than others?
Yeah, some better than others, but I think, you know, my humor, some people get and some people like and some people don't, and I appreciate that. And there was some that I didn't find that funny, but other people were laughing their asses off, but it was just
fun.
It was hilarious. But I mean, just a gorgeous spot, eat, you know, just very intimate. You're not more than 30 feet away from the artist. The bar there, they're doing some shows with food as well. It's just support Peter and Vicky. Look at their ninewallace.com.
Peter and Vicky have worked tirelessly.
So what's the address of the...
Nine Wallace. It's in Beverly, yeah.
Okay, where is it, off of Rantoul or... Off
it's between Rantoul and Cabot, closer to Cabot, on Wallace.
Okay.
Which is right next door to the Largham, so...
Oh, okay.
It's...
So if you have a smartphone, you could type in 9 Wallace Street, Beverly, and I bet you it brings you there.
W-A-L-L.
W-A-L-I-S.
It's a little...
That'd be like...
It's a Beverly spelling Wallace.
Yeah. It's funny, like, the amount of people that I talk to around town, and they're like, oh, where can I get steamers? And I'll say, oh, go to Conley Seafood, or go to Turner Seafood.
Right.
And like, well, where is it?
Oh, God.
And I'm just like, you know, for me to explain this to you, you're never going to remember it, A.
Right.
And B, I see you got your iPhone in your hand.
You have a smartphone.
And you don't even have to type it, because you can just press the button and talk to it.
Why do people have smartphones? Because they're not.
So unfortunately, a lot of them don't know how to use them.
That's why you have a smartphone, because you're not.
The Google is your friend.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
We've talked about this. I'm not going to go down this rabbit hole again.
We're back to explaining
myself about the Google. Is there anything more frustrating than trying to explain to someone that for a really easy question to look up, like, that they won't look up?
Yes, it is. When you're not native and you're talking to somebody and you ask, where is that? I don't know. Like Kim was just explaining where she lives, and I don't know every street in Gloucester. I'm sorry. But when they give directions, it's like, well, you know, where that used to be. Some business used to be. I'm like, not helpful, people. Not helpful.
That's in the reverse, right?
Yeah, it's just...
Yeah.
Turn left there.
That's funny.
Yeah. I can tell you where to go right now, buddy.
Where the busy bee was, yeah.
You love the people that come into town and say, I was here 20 years ago, and I'm looking for this restaurant or this... It's like, oh my God, 20 years ago. Let's see.
Yeah, some restaurants you could be here 20 days ago and they're not around anymore.
Ohana, we lost Ohana. Ohana was a great, was a good joint. That's gone. Ohana.
Is it really gone?
It's gone.
Yeah, it's gone. I want to mention the Seaport Grill on Wednesdays. They have a lobster fest, and it's very reasonable, and a lot of people get there.
Are you sure it's... Are you sure that day of the week?
Why?
Well, because my not-wife, Deanna, went there for lobster rolls and had the wrong day. She went on. She thought it was Tuesdays.
Thursdays is lobster rolls, but lobster...
Thursdays lobster rolls.
Oh, okay.
Wednesdays is the lobster fest, they call it, and it's they do like specials on chicken lobsters.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
You are always on top of it, Joey. You were correct.
Well, I happen to know a little something about that place.
About lobsters.
The you lobsters
know something about lobsters.
About lobsters at Seaport Grill. He knows a lot about that.
Beauport Beach Yoga. They've been doing yoga on the beach at Beauport.
Did somebody post a picture of that? It looked really cute.
Yeah, it's Cape Ann Power Yoga.
Yeah.
They are sponsors of the blog.
And yesterday morning, they were doing yoga out on paddle boards.
Oh, at Yoga SUP? Oh.
Right out on Pavilion Beach. out in the water, right
there.
That's Cape Ann.
Cape Ann SUP.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. That group.
Amazing to me.
That group, that SUP, because they do it in Essex River, it's the same group.
Same people, yeah.
They have some fun programming. Yes, they do like movie nights up at their barn up in Essex there.
Yeah. Very creative.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
But I couldn't believe doing the yoga on the paddle boards. That was pretty impressive.
Very impressive. One more thing I wanted to talk about was the Cape Ann Community Rundown. Action Inc. has their Safe Harbor event September 9th. That's a ways away. Oh, I want to do a shout out to our friend Lydianne Sands. You must know Terry Sands' daughter-in-law, right?
Yeah, she's wonderful.
She's a sweet girl. She used to work at Sugar Mags for the longest time. But she's doing Brazilian stories and crafts for Brazilian. We have a huge Brazilian population now. And she's doing on Wednesdays from 4 to 5 p.m. She's doing songs, stories, and crafts at the library in the friend room.
And she's a lovely, lovely person.
She's a really wonderful person.
Also great.
Yeah, the Brazilian community is having a fundraiser next Saturday morning breakfast. Starts really early.
Where?
At the Portuguese Club across from Our Lady of the
Are you Portuguese?
Voyage.
Huh? Are you Portuguese?
No.
Delaney, no, you're Irish. Yeah? So how would you know that?
Because I have Brazilian friends.
Oh, that's
and
nice.
And it's a fundraiser for some Brazilians that have cancer.
Nice.
It's going to be like from really early in the morning until I have it on my phone. Really early in the morning till like 11 o'clock breakfast.
Kim, I wanted
$15.
Okay. Kim, I wanted you to try to get a hold of Nikki Bogan. For the podcast. And there's a particular reason. Nikki Bogan, she kind of runs the Cape Ann Farmers Market. Mm-hmm. But they sent in a press release that you can use your SNAP benefits and now earn HIP incentives with participating farmers, which piqued my interest because I have no idea what that means.
Okay.
It seems like that's why I want to have her in.
Okay.
I want her to explain to me what a HIP incentive with a participating farmer is.
Oh, it's like for your food stamps. It's like
Healthy Incentives Program.
Right.
And
okay.
Senior market coupons. They take all that stuff at the farmer's market. Mm. Oh, this is the Brazilian Cancer Fundraiser Breakfast Buffet, Sunday, August 6th at the DES Portuguese Club. Children 5 to 10 years old at half price. Please join us for a breakfast buffet to support 3 local Gloucester residents who are fighting cancer. Very nice. Very nice. Thank you for that. You could post something like that. That could be one of your posts, Charlie.
There you go.
See, I should find all kinds of things to post.
There we go. All right, GloucesterCast, what was it, 235, I said?
Mm-hmm.
Another good one in the books. Thank you guys for coming. And welcome to the Good Morning Gloucester official team member, Charlene Delaney.
Oh, I'm so excited.
Thank you, overnight internet sensation, Wayne Berger.
Hey, is there like an acronym we could do with that? Is there...
OI.
Overnight internet.
Is that like EIEIO? Wayne Berger?
Oisbuh. I'll have to figure something out there.
Oisbuh.
Yeah. And Kim Smith. Thanks, guys.
We did it.